comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are and wherever you are all around this beautiful planet. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on earth, and it is the show where you matter. Mark Maverick is the owner of Indy 104. That station is one of our affiliates. It's an affiliate that provides a lot of services, including those of you who are listening on cell phone right now. That's through Indy 104. Mark Maverick has been very, very ill for the past, I guess it's about the past week, maybe a little longer. And I called to check on him today, and I got a recording voicemail that says that due to him being very ill and hospitalization, that he's unable to answer any voice messages or email. And so keep him in your thoughts and prayers, Mark Maverick. He's a great guy. He's been a guest here on the show. And, I think you're probably very familiar with Mark. Fine radio station, absolutely fabulous radio station. And our best thoughts and prayers for him. And he's just very ill right now. The K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. And if you're not subscribed, be sure you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. Just click where it says K-Files, and you'll be in, okay? You click where it says K-Files, and I think the only thing you have to put in to subscribe, I think the only thing is your email address. And then you get a confirmation email. You have to click a link that activates it and says, yes, indeed, I intended to subscribe. And then you're in. That's all there is to it. It's and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. There's no cost. It's absolutely free. When we say free, we really mean free. Saturday evening, that will be the first Saturday of the new month. And that means that I'll be in the chat room. And I'm hoping that you'll be there with us. We always have a good time in that chat room. And I'm hoping that you will be with us for that. All you have to do is just make sure that you're a member. Now, it takes 23 cents a day to be a member. That's $6.95 a month. And if you go quarterly, it's less expensive. If you go annually, it's even less expensive. But if you do it on a month-by-month basis, then it's 23 cents a day. And that's where you'll find our archives. The archives are, of course, not called archives. You wouldn't expect me to do that. They're called K-Pods. And but we have the archives there. We have the chat room. We have forums. We've got a library full of e-books that you can just download. They're yours. We have the Video Galaxy. Lots of stuff. And this Saturday night, we have the chat, my monthly chat. See you in the chat room, and I'll see you on the other side of this break. All right. right, tonight is going to be open line live, but we're not going, as usual, we're not going to open the phone lines just yet. I've got something I want to share with you. For all of our listeners in Australia, call your friends, call your family, call your enemies, call your dog, tell everyone they need to tune in, because I'm going to be dealing with and discussing the wave of UFO sightings in the Northern Territories, the Northern Territory, and more specifically, and for those of you who are wondering where is the Northern Territory, it is in the north, of course, but think Darwin. That's the area that we're going to deal with, Darwin and the rural areas around it. But more specifically, not just the Northern Territory, but Northern Territory News, and even more specifically, an article by Annie Sanson that was published today in the Northern Territory News. Now, this article is reporting, not the headline. The headline says, "We're being invaded." And then the hook line says, "A massive UFO," or the lead says, "A massive UFO sightings has territorians wondering if we're on the brink of an alien invasion." Was pretty interesting, because as I read the article, and they talked about, you know, they reported on the different sightings and the people they talked to, I didn't see any of these people saying, "I think we're being invaded." I think that's a little bit of media license to make it, to spice it up and make it more interesting for the readers. Now, I'm going to talk about this article, and I'm going to talk about some of the responses to this article. And before I do, I want to, first of all, thank Annie Sanson for writing the article. Because even though it has some spiced up stuff in it, you know, like that lead, and like the headline, "We're being invaded," even though it has some of that, at least what she did was give us some reportage on UFOs and the fact that it's kind of a wave of UFOs that have been seen over the Northern Territory. So I want to commend her for that. There is one thing I'm going to take issue with in the article, there's some person who's quoted that I'll take issue with. But this article, now I'll give you the rundown on these UFO sightings. It's been quite dramatic, actually. I'll give you the rundown on those in just a moment. But right in the middle of the page on the website, there is, in bold letters, a question, and it's hyperlinked. It says, "Do UFOs exist? Leave your comment below," and you click on that, and it takes you down to where you can enter your comment. Now, Annie, that's really a dumb question, and I don't know if you came up with that question or if your editors did. I would suspect it's the editors, but I don't know that. But that's a stupid question. I mean, that's like asking, "Do you believe in underwear?" I mean, they exist or they don't. And there's nothing to believe. What's this deal with believe? I mean, that is so 1940s. and I know that it's so 1940s. And I suspect you do too. Dumb question. Do you believe in UFOs? Well, having said that, let me fast forward to the obligatory naysayer, who of course has credentials. He is an astronomer. His name is Jeff Carr, And he told the Northern Territory News that he was, quote, far from believing any of this UFO stuff, end quote. And he continues by saying, unless aliens have found a way to travel faster than light speed, it's a doubtful thing to believe they came to visit us. And then the article says, Mr. Carr said he believed 99% of all the UFO sightings could be explained as simple weather phenomena. Annie, thank you for putting that in your article. And I'm quite sincere about that, because whenever you quote someone with credentials who's supposed to be in the know, and they're so blatantly idiotic, it really helps the case for those who are trying to get the word out that, folks, just look up. There's nothing to believe. Just look up. Either they're there or they're not. And we have somebody like that here in the U.S. that we some of the programs use, and they call him Bill Nye the Science Guy, but he's not nigh to real scientific information on the subject of UFOs. Neither is Mr. Carr. What an idiotic statement to make. 99% of all UFO sightings can be explained as simple weather phenomena. Mr. Carr, come on. I mean, that flies in the face of peer-reviewed, published data. The United States government is one of the most secretive governments on the planet. If you expect openness and transparency out of the U.S. government, you're wasting expects. And the U.S. government tried to sweep that whole 1947 thing out in Roswell under the carpet. They tried hard to sweep it under the carpet. They're still trying to sweep that under the carpet. It's a little difficult when you have a lump that big under the carpet to keep people from saying, hey, wait a minute, what's that? But they're still trying to keep that a secret, and there's no secret about it. They tried hard, and then something happened. July the 12th, 1952, a fleet of UFOs flew over Washington, D.C. On the next weekend, they did it again. On Saturday, two Saturdays a week apart. Now, there have been all kinds of bogus tries to make this into a weather inversion, to make it into a radar reflection, you know. The problem is, these things were seen on ground radar. They were seen by air radar in airplanes. They were seen by pilots in the air, and they were seen by people on the ground, and they were captured on film. And in fact, during our first break, we played a commercial break. We played a spot that actually shows that film of the UFOs flying over the Capitol building. Now, the general that was in charge of sweeping Roswell under the carpet was General Ramey. When this thing happened over Washington, D.C., General Ramey, General Samford, and President Harry Truman had a come to Jesus meeting about what in the world is this. And they turned to Edward J. Ruppelt, who was newly appointed, he had only been in the job for about a year, as the head of the U.S. Air Force Official Investigation into Unidentified Flying Objects. It was called Project Blue Book. Mr. Carr, perhaps, and maybe Annie Sanson did not know this, but Mr. Carr, perhaps you did not know, but certainly you should have known before you opened your mouth to pontificate about something that you quite obviously either have no education on whatsoever, or you do and you just lied. It was one or the other. Because Project Blue Book put out 14 reports. Official reports. Special report number 14 was generated by the Battelle Memorial Institute, commissioned by Project Blue Book. They are the ones who had been taking all of the data, putting it into a computer, and crunching the data. And Project Blue Book Special Report 14 says something very interesting that perhaps you should know. Now, this doesn't say that you have a doctor's degree, so I'm calling you Mr. Carr. If you do have a doctor's degree, I apologize, but the article doesn't say that. But whether you have a doctor's degree or not, certainly before you as an astronomer, you using your credentials as an astronomer, therefore we're supposed to believe you, before you open your mouth in that capacity, you should be aware of the data. And you said 99% of all UFO sightings can be explained as simple weather phenomena. Well, that official report, that is an official U.S. government report, it says that 22% of the cases Project Blue Book looked at could not be explained. Furthermore, that 22% had an extremely high statistical ratio of best information. In other words, the ones that could not be explained away are the ones where you had pilots giving detailed descriptions, you had radar operators giving detailed descriptions, and you had radar readouts, and you had the hard data. 22%. Now, you said 99.9% were just simple weather phenomena. That flies in the face of reality, and that flies in the face of scientific learning. You should know better than to go into the newspaper and go out in public and say something like that when there is documented proof that what you're saying is not true. But I want to thank, again, Annie Sanson for putting him in there because it made such an easy target for anybody with a thimble full of information about the real data, the true story. I mean, I'm talking about real hard scientific data. Anybody with a thimble full of information like that knows that Carr is way off the road. So, Annie, thank you for putting him in there. What an easy target. What a sweet target. Easy to hit because what he said is simply untrue. And as I said, it's either because he is uneducated on this subject or it's because he's lying. And I don't know which one it is, and I don't characterize it either way. But folks in Australia and around the world need to understand that what you heard, what you read from this astronomer is most definitely not true. Absolutely not true. It is not supported by the actual evidence. It's not supported by the actual data. And there are official scientific studies to prove it. Now, what's been going on in the Northern Territories? Well, this goes back to April the 21st, which was last Wednesday. And look, before we get into that, one thing very quickly. And I would ask, Annie, I think you did a good job with this article. But I would ask all you and all your readers to consider this. When you say, do you believe in UFOs? you're asking, do they have faith in UFOs? If they are there, they are there, and it requires no faith. Okay? That's like saying, do you believe in Big W? I mean, if it's there, it's there. I would suspect that probably about 99% of the Earth's population has never seen the space shuttle. But you don't doubt its existence. I have seen it. I've been inside it. One of them. But most people have never actually seen a space shuttle. They've seen video on television. They've seen photographs. And they don't say, well, that's probably a weather phenomenon. What about Skylab? Some of you are too young to even remember Skylab. Skylab was the ill-fated attempt of the United States of America to have a space station. And some people are aware of what it is, but you've never seen it. You've seen pictures of it. You've seen pictures and video from it when they had a crew aboard. I've actually been inside Skylab 2 that was supposed to go up and never did. I've been in it. But most people never have. Yet, you don't say, when someone shows you a video of Skylab, you don't say, that's probably just some kind of weather phenomena. Look, cameras don't capture hallucinations. Cameras don't capture hallucinations. And when cameras are capturing these things in the sky, a weather phenomena is probably the last thing it is. Because normally when the weather's bad, nobody's out with their camera. Or at least most people aren't. So do you believe UFOs exist? Dumb question. Stupid question. Ancient question. But it was a good article. We'll talk about the actual events when we come back. So what kind of incidents have happened? What sort of wave of UFO sightings have happened in the Northern Territories? Well, it started, as I said, on April the 21st. That was a Wednesday night. It happened, and as I said, if you think Darwin, Australia, and then the rural area surrounding Darwin... or near Darwin. And so this happened at Howard Springs. And 38-year-old Cheryl and her family see strange lights from their home. And I assume this is in a small town or village called Humpty Doo. The lights seem to hover over Howard Springs. They, according to Cheryl, quote, the lights were very low in the sky, really bright with flashing dots. Three of them formed a semicircle, and they hovered over the area for at least an hour. On April the 23rd, so that would have been on Friday, Susan Clark and her family spot a huge spherical object that was moving horizontally across the night sky. Very slowly, she said it was amazing and unnerving at the same time. It was glowing red, orange, and gold. None of us had ever seen anything like it before. A 48-year-old woman from Woodcliff confirmed the sighting, and she compares it to a similar UFO sighting in Howard Springs in September of last year. On April the 23rd, in another location, Stewart Highway, south of Howard Springs. British backpacker Kyle Myers, or maybe it's Kylie Myers, is on the way to Adelaide River when she suddenly sees this big light in front of her, a few meters above the road. It slowly moved to the right, then to the left, then it slowly flew to the left. A second later, somebody must have switched off the light. It was just gone. April the 24th, that would have been on Saturday, at, I think this is pronounced Coolalinga. 27-year-old Renee Miller sees a huge yellow light over the road. She says it was just there. It wasn't the moon or anything. It was bright yellow, and then suddenly it was gone. I have no idea what it was. On the 25th, this would have been on Sunday, UFO spotter Alan Ferguson sees a bright white light flashing past his house. According to him, it just looked like the International Space Station, a big white light, he said. When it moves across, it looks like a satellite, except it's huge. It's exactly the same thing I saw at this time last year. On the 27th, that would be yesterday, on the 27th, again at Humpty Doo Howard Springs, Cheryl again spots, the same person that had the first sighting, mysterious lights over Howard Springs, together with her husband and her two grown-up children. We saw the same thing again, she said. There were three of them, bright lights in a semicircle. It was a crystal clear night, and we all saw it. We watched it for half an hour, and the lights changed their shape a few times. She says it looked like a long piece with lights on the side, but every now and again, it just looked like a star. She says, we weren't worried, and it was too far away, but it's a bit of a worry to hear more and more people report strange things happening. So you see, Annie Sanson, who wrote this article, has just given us the data. She's given us the story. With the exception of, you know, the headline says we're being invaded. Okay, I can live with that. And then that question, do you believe in UFOs? Come on, Annie. Do you believe in doorknobs? Either they're there or they're not. But with those two exceptions, this was a good article. And something is going on. Apparently something big is going on in the northern section, the northern territory of Australia. Big news. And you know, little fish in a big pond, Jeff Geary, I think that was his name, the astronomer. What nonsense. I mean, come on, Jeff. You don't even believe the nonsense you blubbered. You couldn't. Okay, we're going to open up the telephone lines now, and we're going to go open line. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind, and you can bring your own topic, okay? The telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Well, you were, and you went away. Sorry about that. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can send me a flash message. If you're in the USA or Canada, we've got phone numbers for you, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Yes, hello. What's that astronomer's name again? His name is Jeff, you said?
Yeah, let me look this up here. Let's see. I've got my papers all out of order now, and now you're asking me for information. Jeff Carr.
Mr. Carr, I got something. Let me tell you something. You know, Jeff, I don't believe that this door in front of me actually exists. You know?
I don't believe Jeff Carr exists.
You know, I don't believe this door exists. You know, I'm going to walk right into my bedroom here, you know, and boom. Oh, wait a minute, the door's still there. You know, just because you don't believe it's there doesn't mean, you know. These UFOs are there, and that's what I want to say to Mr. Carr. You know, Mr. Carr, try not believing in your bedroom window and walk onto your balcony. You know, just try that one night. Stop believing that it exists. You may just walk right through it. But the reason why I called, Kev, I wanted to bring up maybe a new concept for the for something for Open Line Live, maybe somewhere down the line in the future.
All right.
If you're capable of doing it, that is.
I'm capable of doing anything on this planet. The question is, am I willing?
Yes. Well, during Open Line Live, if it could be possible to have perhaps maybe more than one of the callers call in, so that we could have more than one, like, so that some of our listeners can interact with one another on the show and have maybe even a roundtable discussion on various topics that are brought up.
I've tried that before. The problem with doing that is nobody likes being limited to their 3 minutes when they're in a conversation with somebody else.
Yeah, it's the system, man. The system with the 3 minute warning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And on another note, is there any chance of having Graham Hancock coming onto the show anytime soon?
There is a chance. I have corresponded with him on several occasions. We've just never been able to get the schedules to match up, but yeah,
you know, and you know, Kev, if your 2012 party happens to be somewhere that's on a big intersection of ley lines,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting my passport and I'm going to come join you.
It's going to be fun, no matter what happens. We're going to have fun with it.
Absolutely. All right, Kev, have yourself a good night.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889, toll-free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, we cannot hear you. Okay. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send us a flash message or you can call us. Either one, okay? If you want to call us at 623-444-5889. If you want to send me a flash message, you can do that by going to my website, scroll down, you'll see where it says flash message. Just click it and send me the message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I wanted to say to Mr. Carr that what constitutes as a simple weather phenomenon?
That's a good question. What do you think it is, Kevin?
I don't know how to answer that.
I don't know either. Weather is very complex, and even the simplest, most common things that we observe in the weather are the result of a complex series of things having happened in the weather, in the climate. So I don't know that there is such a thing as a simple weather phenomenon, but I do know for sure and can document that 99% of UFO sightings, when he says that 99.9% are simple weather phenomena, I can document for sure that's not true. So I'm not sure what a simple weather phenomena would be.
Okay. Have you had much of a follow-up on the alien ghost story?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. But, you know, tomorrow night we have Richard Sennett on. I accidentally put his picture up for today's show and had to take it back down. I put the wrong picture up. He will be with us tomorrow night. And Richard Sennett may have something to say. He may or may not know something about extraterrestrials and ghosts. are ghosts of extraterrestrials. Maybe he does. I don't know, but we'll ask him.
And the last thing is, I love that with Cynthia Crawford a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a good show. That was a good show. Sure was. Kevin, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
All right. pardon me. 623-444-5889 is the number. Anywhere in the world, you can hit that number, and it will work for you. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
sorry about that. Where belief is concerned, I will say this. Why don't I just switch it to say the preponderance of the evidence has swayed me to the opinion that either yes, they do exist, or no, they do not exist.
Well, you could do that. I wrote a response to this. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. They published it on their website. And it says, asking, do UFOs exist, is about 30 years behind the curve. That's like asking if doorknobs exist. What? You think cameras are capturing hallucinations? Of course UFOs exist. Even the super secret oriented USA government has admitted it officially in Project Blue Book Special Report Number 14. Are astronauts unreliable? How about the recording of the one saying, we still have the alien spacecraft under observance? Brent, you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Hang on. We'll get back to you. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back, and on the line with me is Brent from Wyoming, and Brent, we kind of got interrupted by the commercial break, but I responded to it by just saying, you know, what is there to believe? You know, it's either there or it's not. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
How many people in the world do you think have seen videos of the space shuttle launching or returning?
My guess would be roughly one-fourth or less.
Of those, how many have seen the space shuttle in person?
I'd say less than 1/100th.
And yet no one on this planet doubts that the space shuttle exists, that it launches, that it goes to space, and that it returns. Now, why? Well, we have
marketing.
Well, we've got video, we've got photographs, we have eyewitness testimony. I've given you eyewitness testimony on the show tonight. I have seen the shuttle up close, and have been inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've touched it. All right, now. People accept that body of evidence as, we'll use the word proof. They accept it as proof that the space shuttle exists because we have videos of it.
Evidence.
And we have photographs of it. We have eyewitness testimonies of people that have watched it launch and people like me that have seen it and touched it. And we accept that and say, okay, the space shuttle exists. All right, now we have the exact same body of evidence, only much, much, much larger body of evidence about UFOs. It's the exact same stuff. Films, videos, personal eyewitness testimonies, and even in some cases, people that have been on board, that have touched it. And we look at the same body of evidence, and we say, nope, can't be. That is stupid.
Like I say, you got, you've got, you said you could take this to court and win.
Yeah. Well, look, if this was a murder case, and you were trying to get the death penalty for the murderer, and you had evidence that was even 1/4 the amount of evidence there is for the reality of UFOs, even 1/10 of what there exists for UFOs, you could get a conviction, and you could get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Now I have another question for you.
Okay.
Have you taken a look at the 2010 census yet?
Yes.
Do you know? You notice that there is a place for recording the race.
And yeah.
Blank for other race.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many. Let's say that I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm just saying, let us say that there are some aliens living among us.
Mm-hmm.
What would they put for race?
Pleiadian. Andromedan. I don't know.
Just had to ask.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. All right. The telephone line is 623-444-5889. Now, you can call that from any place on this planet. All right? Any place on this planet. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, a big g'day, Kevin, from New South Wales, Australia. The name's Tony, buddy.
Tell me the name again, Tony?
Tony, mate, New
yeah.
South Wales, Australia.
Yeah. Tony, how are you doing?
Good, mate, good. Just a couple of quick comments on the Darwin sightings.
Uh-huh.
Very true, mate, but it's only, the thing is, these sightings have been happening for a good 40, 50, 60 years. So they're only just springing to life because they've been picking up more. We've been getting them all over Australia, New South Wales, Western Australia, Queensland, South Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Only the 26th of this month, just gone, I've seen a light in the sky. It was as high as an International Space Station, easily as high. It was moving slow until it got about halfway across the sky. And the next minute, it just took off. Now, man-made things that we know of don't do that, but this thing just took off at a blistering speed. So they're out there, mate. They're not going away. And all these so-called professors and doctorates and all this, well, yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, they're here to stay, mate. They're showing themselves. And it's as simple as that.
It really is as simple as that. It is that simple. And, Tony, let me ask you something. Is that the first UFO that you have sighted, or have you seen others?
Oh, no. I've seen three or four in my years. I'm 46 years of age now, Kevin, so I've seen three or four in my time, mate. They've all been fairly a fair way away. I wish I could go up and tap on the front door and say good day, but I haven't seen them that close yet, mate.
Well, we may see them that close real soon. Some people say we will. Now, one of the great things I think that's happening, and I know some people may disagree with this, but I think Annie Sanson wrote a great article, because except for the headline and except for that question to get comments, the article was straight. It just reported what the people said, and that is tremendous. That is absolutely where the news media needs to be.
It is tremendous, Kevin. The thing is, though, mate, like these journalists and this astronomer, Mr. Jeff Carr,
mm-hmm.
for instance, half the time I think they're told by what you guys had, the CIA, we have ASIO, and it's virtually along the same lines and
mm-hmm.
Similar functions. And I dare say they put more than likely intervene at times and say, you know, come on, guys, settle down a little bit, you know, put it out there as a bit of a comedy, or just totally disregarded and disinformation, and, you know, everybody will be happy in the long run. But the general public, Kevin, are not happy. We want to know what's going on, and we want to know now.
Well, I agree, and that's the case, really, in every country on this planet. Everyone knows these things are there, and they want to know the truth about it. And, you know, but I will say this. by putting Carr, and Carr, I don't know what he actually thinks about all of this, but by putting him in the newspaper with a statement, the outlandishly off-target statement that he made, it really supports the rest of the article, because he's so off-target that anyone with a thimbleful of information about UFOs knows he's off-target. And so it shows up. We say here, I don't know if you use this phrase, we say it sticks out like a sore thumb. And, you know, it sticks out, and you say, okay, that's the spin doctor in this, but he's way off target. It's just a super easy thing to prove that his statement is untrue.
Of course it is. 110%, Kevin. You've knocked the nail on the head, mate. Yeah. But these sightings are going to continue worldwide, just not here, just not America. It's worldwide. It's everywhere. No matter how many people stand up and say they're not real, you know, they're made with a balloon, a weather balloon, or migrating geese or ducks, or in our case, magpies.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to stay, and they're not going anywhere fast. So, but that's about it, mate. Look after yourselves, guys, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, Tony. Thanks for the call. All right. Well, there you go. Someone from Australia, and we'd love to hear from others in Australia. Let me say this now. For those of you in Australia or anywhere else around the world, if you want to call in. It's pretty expensive to make an international long-distance call. However, you can use Skype and get their calling plan where you pay like 2 cents per minute. And you can use that to call that phone number, 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Stefan, Quebec City.
Hi, Stefan.
Hi, I spent 6 months in Humpty Doo back in 93. That's a mean bush over there. Fantastic area, though. So I'm not surprised that...
Stefan, can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yep, okay. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and Open Line Live tonight. If you're just now joining us in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. On the line with me is Stefan. And Stefan, you were saying that you lived in Humpty Doo?
Yeah, that's right. I was invited to Darwin to help organize the Second World Indigenous Youth Conference. And I spent 1 month in Sydney and the other five months in Darwin and Humpty Doo. So basically at night, well, a lot of the nights I would spend in Humpty Doo, and then the rest of the day, I'd be in Darwin helping organize conference. But that's in really rugged bush. And, of course, we know that the Aborigines in that area, their Dreamtime stories are filled with UFO stories.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really interesting to see what...
What'd you think about Darwin?
On that. It's beautiful.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, the only trouble is I wasn't able to go down to the beach because of the saltwater crocs.
Well, you know, yeah, saltwater crocs are something you got to pay attention to when you're in that part of the world. When you were in Darwin, if you faced northwest, about a two-hour flight northwest, you would have landed in East Timor.
Oh.
So you were real close. To where I spent a lot of time. But I spent a lot of time in Darwin. And when I was in Darwin, I spent a lot of time at Smith Street Mall.
Okay.
And walking around, you know, it's kind of an open mall. And walking around and visiting the shops and having coffee. And it was a great time. Great time.
Yeah, actually, the Aboriginals took me a lot hunting. We went out hunting for pigs and catching snakes. And I'll put the pictures back on my website. But One of the things I wanted to comment on was, you know how you say that if life develops on other planets, it's not necessarily oxygen-based?
Yeah.
Okay, let's combine that with the theory that extraterrestrials are walking amongst us here, and also that that Hollywood is putting some truth into its movies. And it got to me thinking, because I just saw Avatar 2 days ago.
Yeah?
And
what'd you think about Avatar? What did you think about Avatar?
I liked it. It was a space-based Dances with Wolves, as far as I can tell, but...
I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought was that, what if the extraterrestrials, if they can't breathe our oxygen, what if we're being avatared? What if they're walking amongst us with their own remote-controlled bodies?
Well, of course, that is a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, well, just something to put out there anyway.
And it could be that... you know, the most plentiful element in the universe is hydrogen. It could be that they've developed an ability to breathe hydrogen out of the atmosphere. So they could do that anywhere they go.
Huh. Well, great show, Kevin, and let's hope we hear some more about the Australian UFO flap, and kudos to that reporter for reporting the straight facts.
I thought Annie Sanson did a great job with that article. It was just straight. Yeah.
I'm going to look her up.
Yeah, do that. Check out Northern Territory News and do a Google on that, and you'll find that newspaper and that article.
Going on it right now. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thanks. By the way, that was sent to me by one of our listeners in... I believe the listener is in Australia, but the article was sent to me by one of our listeners. And, you know, when I say this is a show that's about you, well, this show tonight is not only about you, it's from you. Peter in Colombia has sent a flash message that's regarding cattle mutilations. He says, recently I suggested a drug smuggler angle for cattle mutilations. I have another thought that might fit as well or better. Cattle mutilations are perhaps the results of special forces training exercises. Delta Force type commandos need to be able to reach their target undetected, kill and disappear in a stealthy manner with surgical precision. Also, it would be interesting to get psychic Robbie Thomas to react to cattle mutilation photos to see what he picks up, as well as the Brazilian human mutilation case photos. What do you think? I think that's a great suggestion. I don't know if Robbie would be willing to do that. He's very, very involved in using his psychic abilities to solve cold case crimes. And with, I got to tell you, with absolutely astounding results. And, you know, he used his psychic abilities really to investigate and look into a crime that was not a cold case crime right here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, while it was still an ongoing investigation. And he gave us details on the air days before, and maybe, I don't know, a couple of weeks before the arrests were made. And after the arrests were made and the details of who these suspects were and what, where they lived and what they were up to, when those were made public on television, it matched what Robbie had told us, I think it was a couple of weeks earlier. So he's quite amazing. But I don't know that Robbie would be willing, you know, to sit down and take a look at cattle mutilation. He might be willing to, but I certainly can pass that on to him. Telephone number is 623-444-5889, and you can reach that from anywhere on planet Earth. if you're in the USA or Canada, the telephone number is, the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you need to call me on the toll-free number, then please do. Internationally, to the best of my knowledge, there is no such thing as an international toll-free number. The way it works, I can pick a little group of countries, you know, two or three countries, and it would be toll-free from there, and then I'd have to pay for that, and then I'd have to pick another little group of countries, and it would be toll-free from there. We just simply don't have the budget for that. There apparently is not one single toll-free international service. So what I've done, for those who are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, what I've done is I have placed a link on my website, and it says Flash Message. Now, it's called that because if you use it, the instant you click submit, then it starts flashing a little notice on my screen over here on my monitor telling me that we have a Flash Message. Okay? And so we use that sort of as the international toll-free, because there is no international toll-free telephone. We have a Flash Message from Kevin in Australia. Good day, Kevin. Yes, the Darwin article. We're being invaded. At least it's in the mainstream media, and the silly comments are just signs of another mushroom. Well, I didn't really see any silly comments except the title, and then the lead line was a little bit sensational, but that's a subjective opinion on my part. But the rest of the article I thought was reported very well, and it's very encouraging to see that in any mainstream paper in any country. He's got a question. He says, is this the signs of Clay and Sean Pickering's Source A 2010-2017 disclosure regarding ETs making themselves known over the cities? Well, it could be. It seems like very overt UFO activity is picking up. It seems like it's happening with greater frequency, and it seems like it's happening all over the world. So it very well could be that the ETs are saying, you know what, we're here, and we've played this game long enough, and we're not going to pretend that we don't exist. You governments had better come clean. And it could be that this is kind of a signal to those governments that we're not playing here. We're going to reveal ourselves to the public. You better get your house in order. So that could be the case. And then question number two, Commander Sergeant Bob Dean mentioned finding so-called Noah's Ark on a Turkish mountain in an older interview. What's your thought, Kevin? The CIA has a satellite photograph of what they call the Ararat anomaly. If you go and ask anyone at the CIA to see any satellite photographs they have of Mount Ararat because you're looking for Noah's Ark, they don't have any information. They'll tell you that. They have no information on it. However, if you request to see Ararat anomaly, well, now they've got a photograph, several photographs, satellite photographs, of the Ararat anomaly. Mount Ararat is where the Bible says Noah's Ark came to rest. The Ararat anomaly looks like a ship. That's what it looks like. there are people who claim that they've climbed up to this in the past. There are people who claim they have brought back samples of wood that they took from it. I'm not aware of any of those having been confirmed as being, you know, old enough to be Noah's Ark. But there is this anomaly on Mount Ararat, and like I say, it is in satellite photographs that the CIA has, and it is something that they try to keep the lid on, or have tried to keep the lid on, and yet there it is. In the area, in Turkey, in that area, around near where that anomaly is up on the mountain, in that area, there are ancient stones that are carved, ancient carvings, that the people say were made by Noah and his family. There are towns that contain the name of Noah in the town. You know, it's a form of the name Noah. And so, do I think that's Noah's Ark? Well, I don't know for sure, but there's no reason for me to think it's not, when you have an ancient script that says that's where it was, that's where it landed, and then you have modern satellite photographs that show something that looks like a great ship up there, and then you have ancient markings and ancient names of towns that bear the name of Noah, and some of them bear the names of other family members of Noah. I would say that there's no reason for me to doubt that that's what it is at this point, but you know me, I'm not going to dive in head first and say I believe. Do I think such a great ship ever actually existed? Yes, I do. And I do because that story, in with variations, but that story is in virtually every culture on this planet. Ancient cultures, people who never heard of the Bible, the Epic of Gilgamesh. These people never heard of the Bible. And yet, there you have, in ancient Sumerian writings, there you have the essentially the same story as what you have in the Bible. So did some guy at some point build a great ship, and did the earth flood, at least in that part of the earth, and did it flood enough to have carried that ship to the top of Mount Ararat? And do I think that that's a true story? Well, yes, I do. And I do think so because it's in every culture, and because the CIA has a photograph of what looks like a large ship setting up on top of that. Actually, it's kind of on the side of the mountain. It's about 17,000 feet up. And so it's not really easy to get to it. And plus, there have been a lot of government restrictions keeping people from getting to it. So, yeah, I think it's probably there. All right, now let's talk about some of the comments that people made in response to that article that appeared in the Northern Territory News. The phone lines are open, and it's a good Open Line Live is a great night for anybody to call in, but especially if you're a first-time caller, because it's a whole lot easier to get through, because we have more telephone time available to us. All right. One response, one of the comments that was posted in response to that article in the Northern Territory News is, it says, has anyone ever noticed how these sightings are always in places that have Air Force bases? That's kind of interesting, too. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Lloyd. I'm from Florida.
Hello, Lloyd. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, sir.
Well, we got to play some applause for you. Okay, Lloyd, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, you're talking about Noah's Ark. There's a couple things there. One thing is, in the Bible it says that the Ark landed in the mountains of Ararat.
That is true.
Not Mount Ararat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, Mount Ararat in Turkey wasn't named Mount Ararat until the 14th century.
That's true. But it is in that Ararat chain.
No, the mountains of Ararat are between Iraq and Iran.
Oh, so it's not even in Turkey?
No, it's between just about in the middle between Iraq and Iran, and it says that when Noah come down off the mountain, the first town he fostered was Nineveh, and that's right in that area. It's in Iraq, right close.
Well, you know, that would fit as well with that Epic of Gilgamesh with the Sumerian text, because it's in that same area.
Yeah. Well, here's something else that's kind of bothering me. One thing that bothered me greatly about Noah was where did the water go? Where did it come from, and where did it go? Well, there's a simple answer to that, and back in the Bible, it talks about being a day that had 24 hours of daylight. In the Mayan text, it talks about there was a day that was 24 hours a night. And now you go back, way back into the Indian text, and it talks about these flying ships,
mm-hmm.
Vimanas.
Yeah.
You go into China, and it talks about a man writing a story saying that he come out from underground and seen green trees and blue sky for the first time in his life. He was born and come out. He didn't say how old he was when that happened, but anyhow, 25,000 years ago, first of all cultures in the world keep very close track on the precession of the equinoxes. I don't think any of them know why, but they know that it's important, and through time they've just kept track of it, and they don't know why they keep track of it. But what happened was, every 25,000 years ago, we go through a mass extinction on the Earth, and we're about to go through it again. And what happens when we go through it, what did happen was the people that flew the airships.
Yeah, the Vimanas.
Vimanas. You had the elite got on these spaceships. You had the upper echelon that got into the caves, and the rest of the grunts perished. Anyhow, what happened to them was they knew this disaster was coming, and they went to Mars. They were capable of spaceflight. And you look on Mars now, and there's I think it's three holes, three or five holes.
Seven
holes?
Mm-hmm.
That are giving off carbon dioxide and methane gas and all this stuff. There's people living under the surface on Mars. Well, about 4,000 years ago, we had the Earth slippage. That's when we had the 24 hours with sunlight for 24 hours. There was a pole shift, not a pole shift, a crustal shift, and the crust. The pole was between Upper Michigan and Hudson Bay, and that pole that's what was over the North Pole, and that's where we get this big ice sheet that we got up there. We were in a polar cap, and that come down as far as Indiana, so forth. But that's because the pole was right above North Michigan. Now, to show you what happened, if you take that crustal shift and move it over to the other side of the Earth, what come up towards the pole was Russia and Siberia, and they were down there in a temperate zone. Siberia was in a temperate zone, and when that shift occurred, Siberia moved 3,000 miles to the north. And when it did, the woolly mammoths were sitting there just munching away on their stuff, and the Earth was warm, and it got shifted up close to the pole. Now, the air currents, the crustal shift occurred, the core stayed the same, and the air stayed the same. Now, the air is coming up off the equator and off the 45th degree, and it's going north, and then it gets cold, and it comes down. Only it couldn't come down because there was this warmer Earth below it, and you had what you call a heat inversion. And that air just kept piling up, piling up, piling up. And these little old woolly mammoths are sitting down there below there, just munching away, just as nice as can be. And all of a sudden, that air built up so much that it finally broke through and come down. And it come down probably close to the speed of sound.
Lloyd, that is fascinating. But we have to step away for a break. Thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Rick from California.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Kevin. You know, that was a real interesting call, that last guy that called in there.
Yes.
I've got a question about, maybe you can elaborate on it a little bit. When the Earth goes into its polar shift, I don't know how many years go by before it does this, but I was wondering if does the axis of the Earth change at all during or prior to this polar shift?
Well, there are two different types of polar shifts that are possible. One is simply a magnetic polar shift, so that what is north now becomes south. The Earth itself stays in the same position, but your compass that used to point north, well, that north end of the compass will now be pointed to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a magnetic shift. Another type of polar shift that's possible is if the Earth actually flips over. And there are people who say that happens. There are people that say that it's going to happen yet again. I have not seen evidence that's convincing that that's the case. Magnetic shifts, yes. Now, what the caller was talking about is crustal displacement. So if you can think about an orange, and suddenly the peel of that orange, let's say that it's just very loosely attached to the orange, and suddenly, for whatever reason, that peel, the orange inside stays where it is, and the peel shifts around the orange.
Yes.
That would be crustal displacement. There is evidence that has happened. Some scientists agree that has happened, and some disagree. But there is evidence of it. Antarctica used to be sort of where Australia is today. It used to be more temperate, and there were plants and animals on Antarctica. Even today, and a lot of people don't know this, there are something like I forget how many square miles, it's thousands of square miles of Antarctica, where there's very little ice and snow, and mostly there's not any, and there are freshwater, liquid water lakes, warm water lakes, and they're crystal clear, and they're that way year round, and a lot of people don't know that. But you can actually see videos of those on YouTube, and they're absolutely beautiful. And in Project High Jump, Operation High Jump, one of the airplanes spotted this area and was totally shocked, and he was in a seaplane, and he landed on one of those lakes and tested to see if it was fresh or salt and to see what the temperature was. And then took off again. So Antarctica is today somewhere that it did not used to be. Okay, so it used to be more up around where Australia is today. Yeah. So crustal shift, I think, is a reality.
Yeah.
And now what is it that we will go through? Will we go through a magnetic pole shift? Maybe. Will we go through crustal shift? Maybe. And there's evidence that something is up right now. Our magnetic field is getting weaker by the day. And it's getting weaker faster. Its rate of decline is increasing. Some people say that indicates we're headed into a magnetic pole shift. With all these earthquakes that we're having, they say, well, that's tectonic plate activity. Okay, that's another way of saying crustal displacement. And there's a whole lot of that happening all over the world. So are we about to see a worldwide crustal displacement? Possibly.
Well, the reason I asked was I've noticed that, and it's more than likely my imagination, but I noticed that as the years go by, naturally in my house, you know, the front of it is always faced towards the west.
Mm-hmm.
And as the sun changes where it sets during the year, naturally, further south during the winter and further north west in the summer, it seems to me that the sunlight comes into the windows and leaves a silhouette on the far wall at a different place the same time each year. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with the crustal movement or what's happening there.
I think that would have to do with the tilt of the Earth on its axis. And there are people who are saying that we are way tilted right now.
Yes. But I mean from year to year, like if I pick today, for example, and I go a year from today and look at that, the sunlight on the same spot on the wall, it the shadow of the corner of the window is not in the same place in a year from now as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, that's what my original question was, as there is a polar shift, does that change the axis of the Earth, which would naturally have the sun appear like it's setting further down towards the horizon in the winter from year to year?
It would if what we're talking about is a physical polar flip.
Yeah.
Then, yes, it would.
A crustal shift, yes.
Or, well, now, either one. Now, see, a physical flip of the poles is not exactly the same thing as crustal shift, although it probably would cause some.
Yes.
But you could have crustal shift without the axis flipping over.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, on this crustal shift, does that happen, like, all at once, or is that a gradual thing, would you think? Is there any type of an idea on how long that takes?
I would think it could happen in a matter of an hour or two.
No kidding.
I think it could.
Wow.
And the reason, and of course it would be horrendously cataclysmic if it did.
Oh, yes.
But the reason I say that is, think about these gigantic earthquakes that we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
What was it, 1999? Was that when the one happened that caused that huge tsunami and killed 200,000 people?
It could have been, yes.
Okay. Now, that earthquake was a matter of seconds, maybe a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And look at what happened. So, big movements of the earth, and that was one of them. Big movements of the earth can happen really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I would think that you could have a crustal displacement, and in fact that earthquake did cause crustal displacement. Not on the scale that we're talking about, but at least large enough that it changed by a millionth of a second. It changed the length of a day.
Yes. I'm wondering if that's not what I'm noticing as the sunlight hits a different spot in the wall from year to year, you know, as it comes through the north side, the north window of my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm making myself clear or not, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if that's not what I'm seeing, or, you know, is that something to be alarmed about, or just forget about it, you know?
Well,
we can do about it anyway, just like my wife said, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't be alarmed because of what your wife said. I wouldn't be alarmed because there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, right.
You know, my dad used to say, when I would get all keyed up about, well, you know, this is happening and that's happening, and he would say, son, you got to live till you don't.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was great advice, you know.
Yeah, that's very good advice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, you made another comment about something I was kind of curious. I don't know if it was last week, I guess, one of your shows. You're talking about the magnetism of the Earth. Being able to hold the moon.
The gravitational pull of the Earth is not great enough to hold the moon.
Yeah, that was kind of a curious thought. It doesn't really seem like, you know, there would be enough gravity for the Earth to hold that moon in that particular orbit, you know.
The only way it can,
both of them are working in tandem, you know, working together to hold each other together.
Well, the only way that Earth's gravity is great enough to hold the moon is if we change our calculations about the mass of the moon and assume that it's mostly hollow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of curious. Yeah. All right, Kevin. Well, I was going to call last week on this polar shift thing. But this last, the caller just before me kind of got me, well, you know what, I'm going to call and ask Kevin and get his thoughts on that. So anyway, we both enjoy your show, Kevin, and I'll get on the computer again, and you can get on the next caller.
All right, thanks much. All right, great call. Good questions. 623-444-5889. You can call that number from anywhere on planet Earth and possibly from Nibiru. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and we'll read it and talk about it here on the air. And we have from Bob in Australia. Hi, Kevin. It's good to see someone speaking up on the meatheads that tell the Australians that UFOs don't exist. They are real, more real than the powers to be or that be want us to know. Stick it to them, mate. All the best. Bob from Australia. Thank you, Bob. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break? Okay. I didn't hear a caller back there. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach, and let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Tony from North Carolina.
Hi, Tony.
I just got one thing to say.
All right.
Why all the doom and gloom? You know, why not nothing happening? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't understand. I do understand the question, why all the doom and gloom. I don't understand that last part where you said, why not nothing happening?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, why does everyone think that we're having a magnetic this or the...
Well, we are.
...doing this?
We are.
I mean, I know we're having a lot of earthquakes and this and that, but I think through centuries that we've had all this already.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that, too. Like I said, there's nothing you can do about it. You got to live till you don't, you know?
Exactly. You know,
and
I don't think.
But it is a fact that the magnetic field is weakening and weakening at an increasingly rapid rate. That's scientifically quantified. They've measured that. It is true that we're having a lot of pretty massive earthquakes. You know, but, you know, we got to live till we don't.
Well, I agree with you on that. But yeah. That's something I just wanted to say.
Yeah.
Talk to you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's not healthy. It is interesting to think about these things, to talk about them. It's not healthy to worry about them because you can't change it. I don't live directly over an earthquake fault line, to the best of my knowledge. But that doesn't mean that an earthquake somewhere couldn't crack the earth over here and create a fault line under me, and someday we have a huge earthquake right up under me. I don't worry about that. Whatever, you know, there's an old song that was popular really before my time, when I was a little bitty guy. That song was, Que sera, sera, whatever will be, and that's a fact. And you have to live till you don't, so don't worry about it. All right, flash message here from Patrick in Australia, and this message says, good day, Kevin, regarding the Northern Territory. There's a huge U.S. military base not far from Ayers Rock called Pine Gap. Seems to be a very top secret place, and you've got to wonder if there's some connection with these increasing sightings. It's just thousands of miles of empty country up there. Cheers, Patrick. Yeah, and I haven't been to Ayers Rock, but I would like to. And any of you who haven't, you've never seen a picture of it, you ought to see a picture of it. It's just this huge, giant rock laying out in the desert. Or as they say, the outback. and it's gigantic. And people go there, and they I don't know if they still allow them to, but they used to climb up Ayers Rock. I'd like to do that, just to say I did it. But you're right, Pine Gap is out there near Ayers Rock. You're also right that it is very top secret, and it may be playing some role in, you know, all of these UFO sightings that people are having, that they're seeing all over Australia, and particularly in the Northern Territories. Could be that. And one of the responses, of course, to the article that I referred to earlier by Annie Sanson, and again, kudos to Annie Sanson, good article, says, one of the responses says, has anyone ever noticed how these sightings are always in places that have Air Force bases? This leads to two conclusions. Number one, the Air Force, either Australian or U.S., are testing cool new things. Or two, the aliens are doing recon for the impending invasion, based on the assumption that these aliens can travel through space from far away, you'd think they'd have the upper hand in a battle. Recon should just be a matter of seeing that Earthlings can't defend themselves from space, so let's blast them to hell. Well, it could be recon for a lot of reasons. Every nation does recon when they're not planning an invasion. They do recon for a lot of different reasons. You know, the first photographs that people in the United States ever saw of Area 51, the first satellite photographs that we ever saw, were from a Russian satellite. They knew about Area 51 while the government in the U.S. was telling everyone in the U.S., we don't know what you're talking about. It's not out there. Everybody else in the world knew it. They had pictures of it. Just because they do recon, if that's what they're doing, does not necessarily imply that they are planning an invasion. Recon is very often, the purpose of recon is to know where the other side that may be unstable or may be hostile or both, where their assets are from which they could launch an attack against you, and you have no intention of launching an attack at all. But you need to know from where the trouble would come, because if the trouble comes, you need to know where to aim your defenses. So just because, if we assume that what they're doing is recon, and it shows a lot of patterns that are similar to what you would expect with recon. If that's what they're doing, and if they are extraterrestrial, it doesn't imply, just because they do recon, does not imply that they are planning any kind of invasion or attack. It could mean that they view us as unstable and possibly hostile, and they are looking after their own safety. It could just be that. And if their technology is anywhere near what we imagine it to be, it could be that they're finding out what frequencies they're going to need to block, et cetera, to disable attacks against them. It could be something that simple. Some people think we're going to have an invasion from outer space, an invasion from extraterrestrials. Now, the fact is, we could. I am not a prognosticator. I'm not a psychic. I don't know what's coming. So the possibility exists that there could be an invasion from extraterrestrials. But I tend to go with the theory, I guess is a good term, that they've been here for thousands of years. I mean, you know, we've got rock art going back thousands of years that show extraterrestrials and what we would call UFOs. So these people have been around for, they've been coming to Earth and visiting Earth for thousands of years, and they haven't destroyed us yet. And it doesn't appear that they've ever made a move against us. Based on their track record, I would say there's not much chance that they will move against us. Open Line Live is always fun. Thank you to everyone who called and everyone who sent a flash message. It always makes it a rich experience. Great information from our audience. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.